Welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. I'm Jack Swindlehurst, and today we look back at a cracking away victory at Carlisle United and ahead to a tricky Tuesday night clash with Bolton at the Abbey. Joining me today are Tom Walker. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, happy after a great victory in my hometown yesterday. So, that was absolutely cracking result. And also joined by Matt Gooding.
Hi, Jack. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us again. Good to have you back on.
Yeah,
Carlisle United, 4-0 winners up at Brunton Park.
No, they weren't. Other way around, mate. Cambridge United, 4-0 winners.
Yep, Cambridge United, 4-0 winners at Brunton Park there.
That's a fever dream, that.
Freudian slip. Sully Kaikai putting United ahead in the first half, and then one of the most comical own goals ever seen to go 2-0, Kachunga, and then Ryan Bennett adding the goal at the end there. So, yeah, an interesting game, Tom, starting with you. Was it a case of Cambridge being really good or Carlisle being that poor?
I don't just want to write off like all the good stuff. Obviously we were quite critical in the week of certain things, definitely after the Cheltenham game and little bits after the Pompey game. So I don't want to kind of sit here after a 4-0 win and just go, yeah, nothing to do with us. But Carlisle were dire, like seriously bad. I think they troubled us a little bit, like, but we're talking for like a handful of minutes at the start of the, I think, of each half. But yeah, I think after we went a goal up the rest of the second half, they were pretty flat. And then, the last sort of 25, 30 minutes from their perspective would have been really quite concerning, I think. Well, if the league position going into the game wasn't concerning enough, that's kind of it, I think. And you'll probably know better than me, Swindle, but I don't imagine there's too many in that neck of the woods that are too positive about their chances for the remainder of the season.
No, it was very odd being there yesterday and encountering their fans, because there's a real positive vibe around the club at the moment. You know, they're under new ownership, and the new owners are, they're there front and central in the fan zone, chatting to people. And there seems to be quite a buzz around it until they get out on the pitch. So, Carlisle were pretty woeful, Matt.
Yeah.
What was your take on the game?
Yeah, I think just on Carlisle, I think Paul Simpson sounded like he'd given up. I don't know if either of you heard his post-match interview, but he was throwing a bit of shade in the direction of his players, which was quite interesting. But I think, I think just before we get on to our performance, I think it's worth pointing out, because we moan about our recruitment quite a lot, right? And they are a team, much like us, who came up, probably not expecting to come up, probably not one of the biggest budgets in League Two. And they look like it, like they were properly dreadful. And not only that, they've spent a lot of money in January, probably more money than we've ever spent in a sort of close season or transfer window. And they're still dreadful. So I think all that to say, we have gripes about our recruitment sometimes, but we're still here after three seasons. And I think that's highly unlikely they will still be here after three seasons. So, the guys are not doing, they're not doing everything wrong. But I think on the game itself, I think you're right, Tom. I think any analysis is sort of tempered by the fact that they were so bad. And we obviously did what we needed to do, and that was good, and it was a really positive result and a good victory in the end. But yeah, I think it's as we were just saying off air, as 4-0 wins go, it's a pretty low key one, and it there was sort of an element of that. But obviously enjoyed watching it and enjoyed watching the goals go in.
Yeah, I will say, and Swindle, obviously you were there. I would have been there but for the best efforts of Avanti West Coast to ruin yet another trip that was planned. But I ended up watching it on iFollow, and I watched it with someone that I live with who supports a Premier League club. Admittedly, not a very good one, but a Premier League club for the time being, all the same. And I've watched a lot of games with him on iFollow, particularly during the lockdown year. And he sort of tongue in cheek comments in a lot of them that we're rubbish. We've got like a load of plumbers and jobbers playing for us. But even he was a bit like, wow, Carlisle are truly bad.
There was Gibson got the ball occasionally and looked quite dangerous. He looks all right. But literally the rest of them, what were they doing? That Armstrong, they paid more, I don't know what they paid for him, six figure sum. You didn't even know he was playing, did you? So they were easily the worst team I've seen this season. But We have a long and illustrious record of not beating bad teams, so we should probably be happy that we managed it on this occasion.
Yeah, well, that's what pleased me, I think. I sat here with Jord on the preview show, and he reeled off a stat that they hadn't kept a clean sheet for like 25 games, and they'd lost six on the bounce going into it. And they're the sort of stats, they're the sort of things that kind of just naturally fill me with fear a little bit. Whereas I guess on the face of it, realistically, we should just be like, no, they're doing that because they are genuinely abysmal. I mean, I guess just to kind of move it on to our side of it a little bit, because if there are any Carlisle fans listening, firstly, why? But also, fair enough if you've even made it this far. But like we just did a really professional job, I think. And even despite the fact that ourselves we're 16th in the league, like we made a big gap in quality really show. And that was really pleasing. So I don't think we've quite been able to do that at times. Even going back to the first season, we got back into the league. Last season we weren't able to do it enough, and obviously this season, I think particularly since Neil Harris came in, we've been able to just kind of do our job pretty effectively against most of the teams below us. But what we've maybe not been able to do is just kind of really exert a bit of quality, and kind of really make it tell. And I think the front four yesterday, particularly Kaikai, but also Kachunga obviously gets his goal. Taylor was involved in a lot of things, and I thought Lancaster had an industrious afternoon. They just kind of really showed a difference in quality that makes you a bit more confident that, all right, we're sort of in and around that bit of the table, but maybe we are actually a bit better than teams below us. And that is obviously really reassuring. Been able to score four goals, which is obviously something we've not done for a long time. It just sets you up well going into the fixtures coming up, because we'll obviously preview the Bolton game, but even after that, there's like two or three or four really difficult looking fixtures. And if you go into those games on the back of, a really disappointing loss against a team like Carlisle, then that looks very, very daunting. They're still difficult, they're still tough games, but it just eases a little bit of pressure maybe, and it makes you think, look, if we can get one against Bolton and then go into the derby and get a result there, you've kind of done a big chunk of what we need to do. So yeah, really, really good, really positive stuff. Obviously, like Matt quite rightly says, it is all tempered a little bit by who the opposition were and how they shaped up. But Portsmouth went there, they're obviously top of the league, and they really struggled to a result, and we made it look very, very easy. So that has to be a really good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good points well made there. Cambridge now up to 16th, leapfrogging Reading as well, which is good. So, yeah, good to see Cambridge now 6 points clear of the relegation zone. If we look at the lineup a bit, Tom, what did you make of Gibbons keeping his place over Liam Bennett?
I was a little surprised, but maybe I shouldn't have been really, because he did play quite well at Portsmouth. But I guess maybe my assumption was that Gibbons came in just to simply give Liam Bennett a rest. Then Liam Bennett has the rest and then comes back in. Bennett obviously got withdrawn against Cheltenham as well. So I don't know if maybe there's a sense that, Harris wanted a right back in, not just as a different option there. Because obviously previously to that, we had Okadina, who, you might argue is not a natural there, even if he said, and I think he's on record as saying that's his preferred position. Maybe there's a case to be made that actually Harris just wanted somebody else to be playing in that role, and he's maybe not quite had the opportunity, and a disappointing performance and result against Cheltenham is the one that you can bring in someone like Gibbons in the following game for. Pretty good account of himself at Pompey, and then you think, right, Carlisle, go and show us what you got. Particularly liked in the first half, not afraid to take a shot on Gibbons. I think he had about four shots, which was good to see. Which means that even if there's no Liam Bennett, there are still right backs out, willing there to take on ambitious efforts. But yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. And to be honest, it's one of those things really. Like Bennett, I think at times has sold himself a bit short on his performance level, even if he's had, I think, overall a pretty decent season. And look, if there's someone there behind you pushing you all the way, who can come in and do a good job, any poor performances, and they get their chance, and it's just about, are they going to take it? And I think he probably has so far. I think he was pretty impressed. Maybe like bits of the second half we were a little bit open on that side of the pitch. I don't think that would have been completely helped by Lancaster in front of him, who's obviously a bit more forward thinking. But But yeah, little bit surprised, but Gibbons came in again, did well again. And I guess now the talking point is, does he keep his place ahead of two really big games? Because you would still assume, I guess, naturally that Bennett's our first choice, but maybe Gibbons is making a bit of a conversation now.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting to see and good to see competition for places. Digby also came back in, Matt. What do you make up of the starting 11 yesterday?
Yeah, I think I was quite happy to see the sort of obviously the Cousins Digby sort of axis was broken up on Tuesday, but I was pleased to see Thomas continue in there. Yeah, I think that's probably, I think sort of some conversation over the right back place aside, I think that's probably sort of looking near to our strongest 11 at the moment. I think Thomas had not like the most like influential game, but he was like busy just in a way that you don't really get from Cousins, so I think that was good. And yeah, I think Lancaster probably deserves to be in the starting 11 at the moment over Brophy, although we saw when Brophy came on in the second half that he had a decent impact off the bench as well. So yeah, I think it certainly looks, yeah, I think the midfield balance probably with Thomas in there is probably a little bit better, particularly for a game against, one of the lesser teams in the league where you expect to have a bit more of the ball and you need a bit more attacking impetus.
Yeah, absolutely. Martin John and 8-Bit Rob both on Twitter have asked questions around the Bennett Gibbons situation. Thanks for all your questions. It's at Abbey Stand Pod. We aim to answer as many of them as possible, and yeah, most of them are pretty insightful. So looking a bit deeper into the game then, really nice first goal for United. Sully Kaikai getting back on the score sheet, Tom. How important do you think he's going to be in our quest for safety and beyond this season?
Yeah, I guess very important. I think he's probably one of the ones, we'll maybe leave Lyle Taylor aside from this just because he obviously came in during January, so there's not really a comparison to make. But I think if you're looking at players that have really improved with the change in manager and really started to show a little bit more under Harris, he's definitely one of them. I think you can probably file Kachunga in that as well. But Kaikai's probably been the one who has delivered a bit more frequently, really in the last few weeks. And yeah, his goal was brilliant. Like, it was just a really good move. It was a really good, slick move. It's the sort of thing that you need to kind of cut a game open like that, because I remember listening to the Pompey fan at the preview that game, where he was talking about their visit to Carlisle, and he said, look, we didn't really show much quality in the game, but it was one bit of quality that cut them apart for their winner. And what I was a little fearful of is that our wait for a moment of quality like that might go on and on and on and on, and it might never come. But to do it so early is really good. But actually, particularly to do it after the start to the game that we had, because you know what Neil Harris said, I think in his press conference before the game, he kind of predicted, he kind of predicted pretty well how the game would play out, that Carlisle will come out, they'd be really aggressive, front footed, in your face, they want to press you high, they want to get into dangerous positions. And they did do that, to be fair, for the sort of first 10, 15 minutes. And then it was like, right, we've not really offered much going forward, but when we did, we cut through them like a knife through butter. And it's a goal, and it's like, I can imagine how disheartening that must be for Carlisle. Like, you feel like you made a good start to the game, causing a few problems, and then you literally you blink and the ball's in the back of your own net. I think Taylor's role in it is really good. He plays a really nice layoff, then it gets to Lancaster. And Lancaster's pass is just, it's quick, it's incisive, and obviously Kaikai's finish is brilliant. It's not an easy one either, because there's bodies in the way of it. He's not that close to goal, but he's able, just to get it onto his right foot and just curls it into the corner. It's a brilliant finish. We know he's capable of that. I think Neil Harris seems to naturally quite like wingers who are more of a goal threat, which is why Brophy's been a, Brophy's kind of minutes have been a bit more inconsistent than they were before. And yeah, I think he's a really quality player as well, Kaikai. Like, we were all really happy, I think, unanimously when he signed again in the summer. And probably haven't quite seen over the course of the whole season what we'd like, but if the last sort of five or six games can be a bit more of a kind of sample of what we might expect in the next sort of 15 games, then that's got to be good. And you obviously ask how important can he be? Well, as a forward in a team of that struggled for goals, not Saturday, but throughout the season, he's going to be pretty big, I think.
Yeah, I think like on the goal as well, I think it was noticeable that it started from like Ryan Bennett stepping out with the ball and playing like a really decent pass like down the channel rather than what we often see from the sort of when it's Bennett, Morrison, Digby and Cousins, they tend to sort of circle it around between them a bit, don't they? And we haven't had that someone like breaking the lines, to use a horrible like football phrase. Do you know what I mean? Like no one from midfield wanting to drive forward, or no one from defence like wanting to drive forward like Lloyd Jones would have last season, for example. So I thought that was noticeable. I don't know if that was something which Harris has been talking to the centre backs about, being a bit more brave and taking a risk and trying to, you know, get us playing, or whether it was just a function of we were playing against Carlisle, so there was a bit more space to do it. But for whatever reason, it was really good to see. And I think we do need that, because quite often, as you guys discussed like last week when you were talking about the sort of midfield makeup, our play can just get really, really predictable if you don't have someone who's gonna do something different, basically. I think like on Kaikai as well, I think he really seems to sort of benefit from the sort of bigger pitches. I think like when he was sort of played centrally against Blackburn and Oxford, he was like really good as well. And obviously Carlisle, the pitch was pretty big up there as well. And I feel like he can have so much better impact when he's got a bit of space to operate in versus our tiny pitch, which is really narrow, where he, you know, he's been pretty good like consistently, but I think you really see the benefit of him when he's got a bit more space to operate in.
You
Yeah,
didn't say it there, Matt, but I'm reading between the lines. So what you're saying is second half, big push towards the playoffs. And you're telling
basically,
me
yeah.
Wembley Stadium on a blazing hot sunshine afternoon in May. You're telling me Kaikai's really going to make the most of the famously big pitch at Wembley.
Kaikai is going to have a lovely time in the playoff final. So, well, Posh aren't going to make the playoffs, are they? So, putting Barnsley to the sword,
Someone
and
has to. Someone has to.
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
That's
so
something for
it's
everyone
going
to
to
look
happen,
forward
mate.
to.
It really is kicking off here today. Right, and then not to bring the mood down, but it was a pretty turgid game after that. It was a real kind of scrappy game, Matt, and very little quality kind of included in that until the second goal.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird one, wasn't it? I think like Carlisle just had pressure, but it was just kind of aimless. Like, and it must be so frustrating to watch. Like, we've been there, of course, like, but it was really kind of, there was just neither team seemed to have that much control of it, really. And I think we were happy to kind of let them have that, thinking, oh, we can deal with this and hopefully be able to sort of hit them on the break a bit later on. But it was a little bit, I feel like the first, before we got the goal, I mean, it was like you were saying, Tom, it's so nice to see us have that one chance and take it, which is something we've, repeatedly failed to do in the past. But I think up to that point, it was kind of, it did feel a little bit nervy. And then after even a 1-0, sort of first 10 minutes of the second half, they were kind of turning the screw a little bit. And you thought, well, if, you know, it did still feel like it could go wrong at that point. But luckily, our sort of, well, they gave us a bit of a helping hand, didn't they, for the second one? But then our quality eventually shone through in the end.
I mean, yeah, since you've mentioned it there, Matt, Tom, the own goal for the second goal for Cambridge United is a thing of absolute beauty. Where does that rank in the own goals that you've seen?
Just before answering that, I will say I absolutely love it from Kachunga, even trying to claim that. It's brilliant.
Yes.
He sort of wheeled away and it was like,
Yeah.
yeah, you've not got that, have you? That's not your goal.
Weren't even near it, mate. Like, what are you doing? But
I
yeah, good.
think the Carlisle manager Simpson actually summed it up quite well. He was like, yeah, the ball was a bit like a bar of soap for the goalkeeper. Which it kind of was. It was a bit strange. Like, it's a really easy take. That's the weirdest thing about it. It wasn't one where it's like he's had to like really, really reach or really stretch for it. He just simply has just let the ball go through his hands and you can the defender's there like, what on earth have you done? Like you literally, like I don't know if there's like a miscommunication or anything like that. I guess from our perspective, if you want to put like a really positive spin on it from our side, I guess you'd say it's good that we're putting balls in the box or at least causing problems. Should it have caused a problem for them? Probably not, but it did, and that's good. And as much as it's a bit too much for a stretch for Kachunga to try and claim the goal despite his best efforts. I guess Kaikai will gladly take an assist from it, and yeah, another good moment on a really good afternoon for him. But I mean, for Carlisle, like I put in our chats window, like literally just after it. We talked a lot of this time last season about the relegation bingo card. Things that have to happen in a season if you're going to get relegated, and disastrous own goal in a sort of bottom bit of the table 6-pointer. That's that's got to be up there. And I will say as well, like I think the other thing of the goal, less about actually how it happened and obviously what led to it, more about the timing of it being really important. Cause it just felt like we'd just kind of ridden a little bit of pressure from them, which obviously came at the start of the second half. And just like the goal that Kai Kai scored, it felt like it came at a time where it would have been really like, right, that's it. It's a brilliant moment to score. And yeah, look, from there, I think, you know, we obviously end up scoring four, but I think at that point it could have been like, right, you're kind of taking three points home if you're there.
Yeah, because we'd also had like a couple of sort of like, I don't know if they're, well, not really chances, but like moments. I think like Lancaster got in the box and he had like options and he sort of just seemed to get in a muddle. And also like Taylor had like what I would say for him was a pretty good chance where he, I think Lancaster found him, didn't he? And he kind of took an extra touch and it got blocked or, and you're like, at that point, you're like, oh, we just really need a second goal here because we need to put this lot away, basically. And obviously, it did end up happening, but when those chances sort of go begging, you sort of think, you know, this could get a little bit nervy. But luckily, that wasn't the case.
It did really have the feel of one of those afternoons when we were kind of like nervously, you know, sitting at 1-0, Carlisle having little moments. It did feel like if Carlisle were to score, they might even go on and win the game. And it was kind of in the balance. And for all that it's a hilarious way for it to happen, it was crucial. And, you know, you're getting the ball in there, I suppose, you know, in the right areas, that kind of thing. So yeah, it proved to tip the balance completely. And then a really nice third goal, Tom, with an assist from Lyle Taylor that I know that you're a very big fan of.
Yeah, I'm glad I get the chance to talk about this one. Brilliant. Really good stuff. And as much as I've just talked about the timing of the second goal, like if you score a third goal straight after it, I mean, at this point, it feels a little bit greedy because it's like the timing of the third goal was good, the timing of the fourth goal was good, and it's just like where's the fifth one coming from? No, yeah, it was just a moment. Again, like we're talking about, you know, a gap in quality really between us and Carlisle, and I think key players on the day showed it in key moments, and this is probably the example of it, I think. Like the ball's played down the byline, and you know, most players at this level take one touch, they take two touches, they take three touches with it in the position that Lyle Taylor got it to. And by that time, your chance is gone. Nah, not for him. It's just like outside the boot, curls it into a brilliant area. And obviously, Kachunga's job is simple-ish, really, because it's just put on a plate for him. It's kind of all about Lyle Taylor, this goal, really. And it's a shame in many ways he didn't quite get his goal. But I mean, this is as good as that, I think. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And you know, you mentioned I'm a big fan. I'm sure I'm not the only person involved with the club or sort of, you know, following the club that is also a big fan, because it feels like his sign in and particularly since he came on in the Fleetwood game and absolutely changed that one, has kind of lifted things just ever so slightly, really. Well, quite a lot, to be honest. And I think the one thing that we lacked this season is just a really consistent presence up front. You know, if Fajiri been injured, Habmes had his problems. Whether it's through fitness or whether it's through maybe just lack of form at times. And then when Habmé got injured, like bloody hell, like we felt like we just found a solution. And then Taylor's come in and just been excellent. And I like obviously he didn't get his goal, which I guess for a striker is the kind of telling impact that you can have in a game. But it's just like little touches and it's how we can like bring the ball down and just move it on really quickly. Just makes such a difference to how we play, and he's just kind of involved in a bit of everything. Sometimes too involved, admittedly, because there were a couple of moments, particularly first half, where it's like you're already on a booking. Just be a little bit careful. And I'm sure we'll see that boil over at some point. I hope it's not next weekend, but we'll see it boil over at some point. But for what he brings to the team is absolutely brilliant. And you know, I guess just to comment on the goal scorer as well, because that's you know not a forgettable part of it. Obviously, our boy Kachunga. Doing bits again, and yeah, he's the other one, I think, along with Kaiko, who's just really improved, like come on leaps and bounds, really, and a player that I think we believe has quality that that maybe we'd not seen all season, but certainly recently he's just been a really big part of the team, and yeah, good for him to get his goal after what has been, I guess, a slightly more difficult sort of 4 or 6 week period than the couple of weeks that immediately followed Harris coming in. And yeah, good to have options up there. Good to have a lot of options and options delivering.
Absolutely. It's great to see kind of a team with a bit of firepower. And yeah, Lyle Taylor, for all that he didn't score yesterday, he seemed incredibly happy with what was happening. And yeah, really behind the team. He seems, Matt, just like somebody who wants to play for the team, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And I think he's Obviously, like quite a strong character, I think, from his interviews, and you guys have discussed before, you know, he's obviously a big personality. And I think when you're channeling that in the right way, and clearly we're doing that at the moment and making him feel like he's really integral to the team, that's a massive asset. And just, I mean, I think I don't really know what I was expecting of him. I think because he hadn't really played a lot of football for so long, I kind of didn't have like massive expectations, but he's just been brilliant. Like his link up play is so good. Like he's not really a target man in the sort of classical sense, like in the way that Ahad May or like Ironside, who we've had recently, would be. But he's really good with back to goal. His touches are so intelligent. You can just tell he's, you know, done it at a higher level. And I think, yeah, just a really brilliant signing so far. I think even if he goes, you know, you don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the season, but I feel like it's already paid off that signing, like in terms of the sort of impact he's had, the goals he's not just the goals, but the sort of points he's got us. So yeah, it's really great to see, and like you say, good to have different options now.
Neil Harris has to take a lot of credit for that as well, because he obviously signed for Wickham at the start of the season, and I think what's been talked about so much is that he just feels like it's a place where he's really enjoying himself at the moment. That Wickham couldn't create that environment for him, clearly, and couldn't get anything out of him, couldn't get a tune out of him. And when he came in, I think we were all pretty happy. We've signed a player of pedigree, someone who's played at higher levels and delivered at higher levels before, and obviously has quality. But if you look at like the last sort of 2 years of his career or so, there's always the kind of lingering doubt that, are we just bringing someone into the football club who maybe is just here to kind of see out a contract and get another move and just see what happens? And the challenge, I guess, for us and for Neil Harris is make the environment somewhere where he wants to be and make it somewhere where he can thrive. And they've obviously got that relationship going back, what, 15 years, I think, since Taylor would have been coming through at Millwall at the same time that Neil Harris was playing for Millwall. And I'm not saying that that in itself guarantees you the sort of performances that we're getting from Lyle Taylor, but I think a lot of the credit to what we've got out of him has to go down to the manager, because it's not the easiest thing to get a player like that going again. We know he's got the quality, but how many times do players of that sort of quality just drop away? And obviously he seems pretty determined not to do that. And without trying to go kind of too far forward in the future, obviously if he does what he's done in the last few games over the rest of the course of the season, obviously we're going to want to keep him. And you would imagine there's also going to be other interest in him from elsewhere, because strikers of that quality pick up interest. But you just wonder if having an environment like that might help if there is a situation in the season where we do stay up and he has continued playing well and we do want to keep him. Does he just think, you know what, maybe I'm not getting it better elsewhere? But that's obviously a long way off, and I'm sure that's a discussion we'll have a little bit closer to the summer. But yeah, good stuff from Lyle Taylor and good stuff from everyone involved.
Absolutely. Thanks to Luke for your question on Lyle Taylor's assist there. A lot of love for the assist and generally his performance on Twitter. Another great question we had from Twitter. Matt refers to the fourth goal. Ryan Bennett, well, being Ryan Bennett about scoring. Richard Nurse has got in touch and said he was expecting Ryan Bennett to go full to Tomori Kitspire mode and destroy the advertisement boards when he scored. Pretty standard from Ryan Bennett there, but yeah, good way to top the game off.
He sort of punched the sort of little fist pump, wasn't there? There, so that was nice to see. I was actually thinking, because I saw this question, I was like, what celebration can I imagine Ryan Bennett doing? And literally anything I could think of is hilarious. Like, so I started with like a basic knee slide. Can you imagine Ryan Bennett doing a knee slide? Just it don't fit, does
Deadpan.
it? Yeah. So then it sort of went a bit, yeah, just how would that what even work? But like I was
The old
thinking, oh,
Kazengi Luar Luar, the
I was going to
triple
say
exactly.
Luar
Yeah, that's what I was,
Luar.
or like the Robbie Keane one where he does like a flip and then he does like shooting some machine guns or whatever. Yeah, just it just doesn't work, I
You
think.
could do a full podcast episode on this
Yeah.
concept.
Yeah.
The Hakimi one.
Yes, that's
Imagine Ryan
right.
Bennett doing that. I
Yeah.
mean,
Ryan Bennett doing the dab, like it could be anything, couldn't it? It just, yeah, just blows my mind.
doing the Millie Rock in front of the doorway. You know what? The revolution of artificial intelligence, I'm sure,
Well,
was created with much more positive and useful things in mind, but there must be a way that we can kind of get some deep fakes of this.
I was about to say OpenAI brought a thing up on Friday where you can just type something in and it produces a video. So I think we need to get onto this. Ryan Bennett doing some crazy celebrations could be the next big thing
Is that
online.
that's
But
what it's
yeah.
for? If that doesn't win us an FSA
Yeah,
award, I don't know what
exactly.
will.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, a good goal, Tom, and a good way to finish off the game. And of course, a clean sheet, which is a great platform to build on.
Yeah, said a great man once, a wise man once said. Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah, I think the clean sheet is good, and obviously, you know, it literally has been the platform upon which we've built our season. I think that's 12 now for this season, which is pretty remarkable. And you think, like, if we had been like semi-consistent in front of goal this season, like we'd probably have like 15, 20 more points, which is pretty mental to think, you know. But yeah, I mean, again, like, just to, you know, without trying to kind of pour too much cold water on it, like, as much as the clean sheet is in a is in our own performance, and the defense yesterday were very good. You know, obviously talked about Gibbons already. I think Danny Andrew put in another really solid shift, and quietly he's having a very good season, particularly of late. And Morrison as well, as obviously we've not mentioned at all, was just dealing with things really easily. And as much as all of that is true, and as much as Stevens didn't really put a foot wrong, in fact, I think it was his mini injury in the sort of 12th minute, which actually almost like changed the game for us, you know, because it really killed any Carlisle momentum. Not saying it was play acting at all, but it did help. And as much as all of that is true, and as much as all of that was good, and they did play well individually and as a collective, you can only beat what's in front of you in that sense. And Carlisle created absolutely nothing. And it probably was the easiest afternoon at the office they will have. But yeah, I think we've sat here so many times and talked about the importance of that defensive unit that I think it's okay just for the afternoon just to put them to one side a little bit and focus on the forwards, because we've maybe not had as much chance to kind of wax lyrical about them as we would like. But yeah, for sure, clean sheets are always good. And as you say, very much a platform.
Yeah, absolutely. Really professional performance, I think, all over the park from United, actually. Because yeah, still got to beat the team in front of you and did a really good job. And nice to give all those travelling fans a bit of a treat. So yeah, it was a great atmosphere, bouncing.
Brilliant following, by the way. I think it's worth commenting on the numbers. What is that, 480 or something? Which is remarkable, like up to Carlisle. And we've talked on a couple of occasions about our away support, and a lot of that has been following games where the away support is quite obviously pretty good, you know, like the local ones, you know, your posh Orients, etc. But these are the ones that show you how far the club's come, and in terms of its fan base. Because I mean, I've been to Carlisle a few times, and you know, we don't take, well, we haven't traditionally taken anywhere near that number. And why should we? Frankly, like, it's miles away. But yeah, to go that far, and it sounded like a really good atmosphere. And like I said, I should have been there. I had a ticket, I had a train ticket, but unfortunately, the train didn't run. I wasn't going to run. But I sorely would have loved to have been there. Had to make do with iFollow, but Swindle, you were there, giving it everything you got. I can assume.
Yes, I was indeed. Yeah, it was brilliant. It was just such a great feeling, you know. Old hats, you know, the old firm, and then some, you know, quite a lot of families there as well, which is good to see. It's just good to see that, you know, the club has got some, you know, some good years to come with as far as following is concerned. I suppose Mark Bonner's got to take quite a lot of credit for that, you know, reigniting people's interest in the club, I think, for some people. And yeah, it's just great to see. And yeah, yesterday was a fantastic day out, and very thoroughly deserved for all those fans, and those who couldn't make it too. So if we look at the league table, we have mentioned it, but it makes better viewing for United. We are 6 points clear of Cheltenham, who are in the 21st, the final relegation place, 7 clear of Port Vale, 12 clear of Fleetwood, and 18 clear of Carlisle, Matt. It's certainly all going in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, it basically it feels it's just weird the position we're in, isn't it? Because the league table is so like bunched up in the bottom half of the table that every time you win, you think, oh, this is all right, like we're kind of on track. And like rationally we are on track. Like if we get like 1 point a game for the rest of the season, we'll be fine, right? So which is not like an unrealistic expectation. So yeah, I mean I'm as confident, I think that we will be okay. I think, like you were saying, Tom, before, I think it does feel like when we play to our potential, we've got quite a bit more about us than the teams at the very bottom of the league. And, you know, if we assume that Carlisle and Fleetwood are gone, or well, certainly are not catching us, then there's only two places up for grabs. And I feel like it shouldn't be beyond us to stay above at least two of the other teams. So, yeah, I'm feeling fairly positive. Obviously, we've got a really difficult run of games coming up now, but having won on Saturday, I feel like we're probably on par for where we would have wanted to be by sort of the end of this sort of slightly easier run of games, right? I mean, I feel like looking back on it, you'd look at the Cheltenham game and the Burton game and think, well, we should have had at least a couple more points on the board from those two. But, you know, broadly speaking, I think like you say, we're kind of heading in the right direction, and the league table looks pretty healthy at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Steve Milton's been in touch, Tom, and says, what's a realistic point target now? He gets us to 49, which thinks will be enough. Putting you on the spot a bit, Tom, but how do you think we're going to end this season?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about more like what are we actually going to need? And I think it's a difficult one, because I think like the assumption is 50 points, and obviously that's less than a point per game for us just. And I think if we target a point, like essentially a point per game, that puts us on 53 come the end of the year. And if you get relegated on 53 points, for you feel pretty hard done by. But what I will say is that I actually think the total might be just a touch higher than 50 this season. A lot of people said they think it's going to be a bit lower, but I think it might go the other way a little bit, because if you look at the bottom four as it is, and I'm pretty happy to write off Carlisle just based on what I've seen, to be honest. Certainly in terms of catching us, which just won't happen. Fleetwood as well. Fleetwood's chance of staying up, obviously, infinitely better than Carlisle's. Well, 6 points better than Carlisle's, I guess. But again, like in terms of catching us, they're going to have to be going almost a point per game better than we are, and we've got two games in hand over them. But like, if you look at Port Vale, like they've got 16 games left, so a point per game for them puts them on 47. They've just brought in Darren Moore, so I imagine he'll be targeting a little bit better than that. So they might be looking at getting 50 or sort of more than 50. And Cheltenham have been running at a very, very good rate since Darryl Clark came in. They're 21st in the league now, but I think if you listen to anyone who covers the Football League in any great detail, they would tell you they're performing as a top half side at the moment. Obviously, they've won three on the bounce, so I think even they would be looking at that and going, I think we can get more than 50 points here. And then it's Charlton, and Charlton are Charlton, and they've got a really good squad. So the same applies for them. Reading have obviously picked up quite a lot, and Burton seem pretty capable of picking up points. So it looks better. But I do have the feeling that it's all gonna, you know, it could all as I guess is natural with the league table, it could all look a lot tighter within about a week's time. I think from our perspective, I think a point per game is realistic. Like, our fixtures are tough, and I think they're probably tougher than a lot of other teams. We play, in terms of teams around us, Reading away and Charlton at home, which are probably the two that you wouldn't want. And obviously we go to Port Vale on the final day, but I'm hoping that that's a game that just means nothing, because I just simply can't go through that again. But other than that, we've obviously still got to play Derby, who'll be gunning for automatic promotion. That game, again, is second to last game of the season, so who knows what will be riding on that from their perspective. You know, you're looking at playing Barnsley, who'll probably be gunning for the playoffs. You know, you've obviously got the Derby, which is a tough game in itself. We've got to play Bolton twice. Like, there's tough fixtures in here. So I think, without getting too kind of downbeat about it, you know, obviously after what was a really good win, there's still a lot of work to do, even if on paper it looks quite straightforward, this. So I think just don't overcomplicate it, really. A point per game will be good. A point per game should keep us up, and I think that's what we'll get. So I'll in a roundabout sort of way, I guess I'll answer your question with 53.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, it's certainly interesting to see how the rest of the season goes. An interesting question here, Matt, as we look ahead to a difficult week, welcoming Bolton to the Abbey and tolerating Peterborough coming. Josh on Twitter has asked, should we be more confident about taking points from these tougher fixtures?
I mean, it
That
would
tells
be,
a thousand stories, that.
yeah, I was going to say, I would like to be really positive about the upcoming run of games, because it's not just these two, is it? We've got to play Bolton again after that and Stevenage. Okay, if I'm going to put my positive hat on, like, Bolton seem to have quite a lot of injuries and they have not been at the top of their game recently, by all accounts. And people have lost four games in a row. They've got a very important Pizza Cup semi-final or something this week, which I'm sure they'll be putting that all into. So I feel like I'm not unconfident about the, like, when we played before the Bolton game last time, I was like, I reckon we're going to get something here. I reckon this is going to be a draw, because we've dealt in, I think, last two seasons, like, since we've been up, we've beaten them and drawn with them at home, haven't we? So clearly we know how to, or we have shown that we can play against them and get a result against them. And obviously they play in a very specific way and don't deviate from that very much. And, you know, they do it very well, because that's why they are where they are in the table, and they've got good players. But there's, you know, I feel like it's possible that we can get something. Oh, should we be confident about getting something? I mean, we're in the league for a reason. We're not here because we won the raffle, are we? So we should be confident that we can go up against a team in our league and get something. But I think we have to be realistic and think, you know, it's going to be really, really difficult. And, you know, you extend that to Saturday and then the next two games as well, that, you know, they're all really tough games. But I think we've shown that, you know, certainly maybe not putting it together for 90 minutes against one of the bigger teams, but we've certainly shown in patches against the bigger teams that we can do enough to get results, and there's no reason we can't do that again. But I mean, I think we shouldn't hide away from the size of the task over the next couple of weeks, because it's going to be tricky.
Just on this week's game, very briefly, Matt, what do you see? Cam's asked on Twitter, what do you see as a success from these next two games, points wise?
I don't know. I mean, I think if we drew them both, you'd be happy, wouldn't you? Like, I think if you extend it out to the because we've got four like difficult games and we've got four like not easier but sort of more winnable games coming up. I think after that it's Lincoln, Charlton, Wickham, and I've forgotten the other one, Northampton, I
Northampton,
think. Yeah. So you'd probably say if we can get through this next block, if we could win one of them, if we won one and lost the other three, if we had another 3 points.
which
Yeah,
one?
I don't care, but
You
obviously
don't care.
Saturday. I don't, no, I'm joking. Obviously Saturday.
What?
Yeah, if we could just win that one, at possibly 6-0, I think that would be a good reasonable score. But yeah, I feel like if we get 2 or 3 points from the next like run of four games, then I think you're well set sort of going into some games where you'd be more confident of getting a bigger amount. So yeah, I'd say anything more than two, I'm really happy. I don't know, but my expectations are pretty low generally, so we'll see.
Yeah, Tom, same to you.
Yeah, a little bit. Although my sort of thinking on it is too irrational, really. Because I'm contemplating whether I'd prefer two, having drawn both games, or three, having beaten Bolton and then lost to Posh. Because obviously, factually, that is more points and that is more useful for the rest of our season. But I'm not sure I can cope with that, to be honest. Yeah, I think going into Tuesday we should be reasonably confident. I appreciate it's not a great sample size upon which to base a prediction, but we did look quite good for 9 minutes against Bolton a couple of weeks ago, which was obviously a bit of a non-event. But I think if you look at Bolton at the moment more generally, look, obviously forget the fact that they're, you know, well up there. It feels like they're kind of laboring to results at the moment a bit more than maybe they were earlier in the season. They're missing Santos as well. Obviously, the centre half who's been, it feels like he's been a big thorn in our side, a very difficult opponent. And obviously, Deon Charles, I think, will be missing as well, who's a really good, really, really, really good forward at this level. So there's an opportunity there. And obviously, you know, the way that they were playing in that game, I don't know if that's changed at all in the meantime, but it felt like it gave us an opportunity to really get at them, to be honest, particularly early on, and really kind of press them quite high and, you know, hopefully take advantage of any mistakes they make. There is a niggling sense within me which thinks just stick the kids out on Tuesday. Don't worry too much about it. Just get through Tuesday with the big ones on Saturday. But yeah, I think we can be more confident. You know, particularly at home. Where obviously we've been pretty decent this season. Away, obviously we've been okay of late as well. But yeah, I mean, look, the perfect week is obviously 6 points. I'm not that greedy, so I'll say four. Draw on Tuesday, but definitely win on Saturday. And if you can do that, magic. We'll see what happens for the rest of the season.
So, yeah, I think I probably agree. But yeah, just before we go, we'll do a little bit of chat pre-Bolton. But if you want to hear an actual interview with Ben from Trotter Chatter, listen to our episode tailored to perfection, and you'll find that on there. So that'll be good to hear him. Hopefully, no one's travelling from China to watch this one. But yeah, fingers crossed it goes ahead. Just quickly, Matt. Do we think we'll keep the same lineup, or do you think like Liam Bennett might come back in, or Cousins?
Yeah, I wonder if he'll. I'll be interested to see what happens with the Digby Cousins situation, whether he's going to just continue to rotate them round. I think in terms of Liam Bennett, yeah, You might make the change. I don't know. It's hard to know. Obviously, Gibbons not played that much before he came here, so whether he seems to like him, but there's more solid options. Maybe he'll keep him for Saturday. I don't know. I guess the other thing would be whether Brophy came back into the team because he was quite good when he came to the bench. And whether he wants to, I mean, Kaikai, like we discussed earlier, is in really good form and it's pretty much played every minute, I think. But whether Lancaster would get rotated out for Brophy, I don't know. I guess is a question. But I wouldn't. Tempting as it is to field a reserve team and keep everyone in cotton wool for the derby. I mean, do we know what Harrison Dunk's up to? Is he going to be back to like start up front on Saturday? Or sorry, I'm
You'd
getting
imagine.
don't want to ruin your preview show, but maybe that could happen. But yeah, I probably wouldn't be changing too much, to be honest. I think everyone probably wants to play after a 4-0 win, don't they? So I guess you just carry on and kind of hopefully we can put in another positive display.
Yeah, Tom, any changes for you on Tuesday?
Pretty minimal, to be honest. I think it's just fitness dependent, right? I think particularly in the forward bit of the pitch, like we found a real rhythm on Saturday, and that's not happened all the time this season. So you want to probably just keep that going, I guess, where possible. I think there's maybe a discussion about what you do in the middle of the park. Does Cousins come back in? But you know, I think I'll be pretty if the lineup came out and it was exactly the same. I think I don't think there'd be too many complaints from that, right? I think I think pretty much as you were.
Absolutely. A good weekend and a good platform to build on, as we've said many a time. It's a big week for Cambridge United, and we're all here for it. So yeah, Bolton on Tuesday. We'll have a preview show for you on Thursday ahead of a minor game on Saturday. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Tom, thank you.
Yeah, good to be back.